Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. Today, I'm so excited because I'm sitting in front of a trichologist. His name is Mark Birch. He is a hair and scalp expert who's been doing this for the last 47 years. That number amazes me. Today on the show, I'm super excited because I want to learn everything there is about advanced hair health, scalp health, and much more. Mark, welcome.
Good morning, CJ. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's lovely to be here. I just flew in actually last night, so it's been an early morning for me. But
well, we've had our coffees and we're ready.
That's it.
We're
ready to go.
Ready to go. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Very well, thank you. So that's the world of hair care. As I say, it's a huge field, you know, basically the scalp, hair growth, looking after hair conditioning. So it's a big subject, which concerns a lot of people.
Yes, definitely does, especially around this time. And I think 47 years ago as well, as humans are usually the same in terms of their behavior pattern. What got you to exploring or getting into this field? Like, you could choose anything else. Why did you choose hair?
Well, my mother was a hairdresser. We owned hairdressing salons in London. My aunt was a famous hairdresser. She worked in the film studios, a lot of the celebrities and people like that. And my other aunt was a hairdresser as well.
Okay.
So they all worked in the shops together. And it was a natural progression, really. I was always into health and things, and sports. And then later on, mother said, you know, be a GP, Mark, but do something very specialized. And then she guided me into trichology, which was very, very specialized, you know, basically in the early 90s. I qualified in 1985. So I started to work with a very famous trichologist. He was one of the world's biggest hair gurus at the time, a gentleman called Kenneth Price. He was chairman of the Institute of Trichologists. He was a governor, chairman of the ethics committee. He was, you know, president of the whole of Asia. So he was a very, very big qualified, you know, basically trichologist. And I was very fortunate to work with him for 14, 15 years. And he taught me, you know, basically all the basics. And I did all the exams and things like that. And over the years, I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world. So I'm an international trichologist. So there's many different types of hair types, different types of textures and porosities. So I know all the different types of races of hair and scalp problems. So it's a big subject. I mean, hair has a massive impact on all of us. It makes us look good, feel good. Hair is sexy, you know, makes us 10 years younger. So bald is not beautiful. There's by no chance today that the biggest cosmetic surgery in the world is hair transplants for men and women. I mean, hair loss has increased, you know, basically tenfold in the last 5 years. So it's a concern for most people. And there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of unqualified people talking about hair and scalp disorders, you know. So today, mainly I spend a lot of time in media, talking on the TV, on the radio, social media. It's all about education, educating people how to look after their hair, how to look after their scalp, to have good hair growth from cradle to the grave. So it's maintaining that longevity of hair growth throughout their life. This is a very, very important subject for a lot of people. I mean, it's our crowning glory, gives us our identity. It's, you know, it's just taboo subjects. It's very, you know, secretive and confidential. So there's a lot of misinformation. And this is what I really try to get across when I'm speaking to people.
Okay, let's talk about the misinformation part. You've been doing this for decades now.
Yeah.
What is some of the most, or like, what is one of the most common misconception that you hear about all the time?
Shampooing the hair. I mean, basically, the majority of people, they know how to look after their skin. They know how to look after their teeth. Hair, they've got no idea. I'm just saying, they spend thousands of pounds trying to regrow the hair. So many different types of myths. You know, the best conditioned scalp is washed every day, providing you use a shampoo suitable for your type of scalp. Most people don't know what type of scalp they've got. Have they got a dry scalp, an oily scalp, a combination scalp, a flaky scalp? So the first thing is to identify what type of scalp have you got. And then you've got to keep the scalp very clean. I mean, the scalp is the fastest aging skin in the human body, 12 times faster than the skin on the rest of the body, 6 times faster than the skin on the face. So it needs a lot of attention. It needs a lot of maintenance. So pay particular attention to the health and hygiene of the scalp and the well-being of the scalp if you want to have good hair growth. So this is important to do this. So always start with the basics. Cleansing is very, very important. Every day we're producing a lot of sweat, bacteria, dead skin cells. You know, there's scalp residue. There's residue from products that people use. So this all impacts the hair growth, all impacts the microcirculation of the scalp. So it's very easy to do if you follow a very good hair care regime to have good hair growth, good conditioned hair, and a very healthy scalp.
So what about cleaning the scalp? Do you need a shampoo all the time to clean it?
You do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there are two schools of thought. One school of thought says like, yeah, you shouldn't be using misconception. Okay.
Sorry, misconception again. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the scalp contains a lot of oil. It's one of the largest. There's over 100,000 hair follicles on the scalp. You know, basically every hair follicle has a sebaceous glands, lipid glands. Every day you're producing 2 to 3 grams of sebum a day, according to the rest of the body. There's also sweat. So one's ionic, one's cationic. Oil and water doesn't mix. So you can mix it all day long. It will not mix together. So you need a good shampoo with large molecule, a good surfactant to take that oil, that bacteria, those dead skin cells, that scalp residue off of the scalp. You want to leave the scalp nice and open. So the follicles, basically, what you're actually doing is you're unclogging those follicles. You're detoxifying, exfoliating that scalp to leave that scalp with good microcirculation with a very good pH. And this is when you get better hair growth. So it starts with the scalp. That's the structure. That's the foundation. Get that right first. And then you're on the road to very good scalp health and or very good, obviously, hair growth.
I want to double click on something that you mentioned a little time earlier. You mentioned that we've been losing our scalp and hair. Was this, the stat was like 10 times or no? In the last 5 years, we've lost
hair
like
losses. Hair loss increased tenfold in the last 5 years.
Okay. Yep. Why is this happening?
Lifestyle, genetics, general health, lifestyle, hormone fluctuations, medications, vaccines, nutrition, anything, any impact on the body will have an immediate effect on the hair growth. I mean, as I say, although it's one of the fastest cell producers in the human body, it can be disturbed very easily. Most nutrition goes to the major organs, heart, liver, lung, very little gets to the hair growth cycle. So you have to maintain that, you know, in various different aspects if you want good hair growth. So obviously nutrition is very important. Health and hygiene of the scalp is very, very important. Hair conditioning is very important. So it's you as an individual knowing what type of hair care regime you're going to actually follow. And the majority of people don't follow a good hair care regime. They're market led by multinationals, whatever. So this is it. If I say to most people, what's your scalp type? They've got no idea. And I say, well, why do you use that product? I said, well, I don't know. My wife uses it, you know, basically.
Yeah, that product is on discount.
I saw it
on Instagram. Yeah. My favorite influencer is using it. So we're always looking at different trends that are happening. And then most people are just following trends, but they don't know about the basics.
Absolutely. I mean, a lady will go to the pharmacist or to the supermarket. She sees 50, 60 bottles of shampoo. She'll normally choose the shampoo in the nicest shape bottle with the nicest smell. She'll bring it home. She'll have a dry scalp. The husband will have an oily scalp. The child will have a flaky scalp. They'll all use the same product. But she'll know more about her skincare regime. She'll know whether she's got a dry skin, oily skin, combination skin, what types of cleansers to use, what type of moisturizers to use, what type of toners to use. Talk about your scalp. No idea. Why use it? Because it's on the side of the bath. And the average person buys 3 hair care products. So these products contain a lot of parabens, silicones, acrylates, polymers. All these create hair loss. So they add more toxicity to the scalp. So I said the first thing really is detoxify the scalp, exfoliate the scalp, get the scalp right, good microcirculation, get good cellular activity, then you get better hair growth.
Got it. Like I've always had a problem with like things which smell too good. Yeah.
It's too good to be true.
Too good to be true. Especially like some of the things that you've mentioned, like phthalates and parabens and all of these other chemicals that most of us, I guess now, things are changing, Mark, because a lot of the newer shampoos, they mention no phthalates, no parabens. But sometimes I also think it's like one of those, you know, when you have like these plastic bottles and it's now that everyone knows about plastic and microplastics, they say this is BPA free, but they don't tell you that it has BPS or BPC, which is just a cousin molecule, which can do the same amount of things. So
it's the same in the food industry as well. The misinformation as well. I mean, I was saying something just recently on a documentary, the amount of advice on the back of packaging is so limited. People don't realize, you know, and this is it. It's say everything today is marketing. Mm. But, you know, when you're using petrochemicals, byproducts, you know, trichlor sulfate, sodium sulfate, Alessi's lauryl sulfate, you know, these are harsh surfactants. And then we're using very strong anti-dandruff shampoos with, you know, zinc pyrithione, selenium sulfide, you know, basically ketoconazole. These, again, are very harsh allergens. Mm-hmm. So people have to be careful. Know your own body. Know what type of scalp you've got. One time in your life, go and see a trichologist, a hair and scalp specialist, mm-hmm. and find out a little bit about your scalp and your hair growth. You know,
can my AI do it? If I have like a ChatGPT or something, I'm just checking.
But no, it won't be able to analyze your scalp. Okay. I shouldn't think. No, I mean you can give it certain information, but no, nothing's better than somebody hands on looking at the scalp, saying your scalp is this and your hair is.
And you've just got to do it once, right? Like, does your scalp changes over periods of time?
That's exactly right. Mm. Yes, as we age, you know, hair gets thinner as we age. It needs more maintenance. Need to look after it a lot more, as I said earlier on. You know, the scalp, 70 centimeters square, 8 millimeters thick, over 100,000 hair follicles, one of the largest amount of lipid glands in the human body, large sweat glands. So it gets dirty very easily. So it needs maintenance. We all want good hair growth. And we can all have good hair growth if we follow a good maintenance program. Mm. I mean, we have products which are all plant-based. They're very mild. They're very gentle, but very powerful ingredients. They're all raw, active materials. There's no frills. We've used the products in the clinics for years on the most severest, most sensitive types of scalps, your eczema, psoriasis, you know, your dermatitis, your scalp inflammation, folliculitis, on the worst types of hair loss. There's over 46 main types of hair loss, medical classifications, alopecias. Which people don't realize there's a lot of people losing hair that shouldn't be losing hair, mm-hmm. not just your two main genetic types, the male pattern baldness, 50% of all men go bald genetically, mm-hmm. androgenetic alopecia, you've got your female pattern hair loss, 30% of all women lose hair, you know, which are predisposed, but you can still stabilize, you can still get to create a good balance in the scalp, you can still grow good hair if you follow a good hair care regime. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting, like these numbers, because we see this happening. I don't know much about the numbers, but I see it experientially in my own life and like my friends who are starting to get a little bit bald, people on the street here in Dubai. And now something interesting that also came to my mind is that we were talking about this offline, that in the 90s, you've had your clinics here in Dubai.
Yes.
Right? Multiple parts of Dubai.
Yes.
Did you see similar problems then? And has the problems just aggravated right now?
They've accelerated.
Okay.
They've accelerated.
What is unique in Dubai? Is it, some people say it's the water, some people say there are some other things. What's your take?
Well, you've got a marvelous cocktail here for losing hair. If we just take hair in general, hair loss. I mean, basically, we've got the water. Everybody knows about the water. There's no rivers or reservoirs here. The water is very hard water. It's alkaline, calcium, magnesium salts. It contains a lot of nitrates, chlorine. You know, as I say, it's stored in storage tanks. So we can't do much about the water. We can use filters. Yes, it will take some of the nasties out, but it won't take everything out. And this is the main thing. Continuously, we're in air conditioning, which is an unnatural airflow. Mm-hmm. So, and then majority of the time, we step out into high humidity and UV. So, you know, it's, you really have to maintain your scalp, your skin to the environment where you're living. And this is it, which people don't. They used to do the same thing in cold environments, you know, in dry heat as opposed to humidity. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And when you've got the water as well and the air conditioning and everything else, you've got to maintain it if you want good hair growth, you know, good density and good oval volume. Well, ladies are going to go to the salon. They're going to use some very harsh chemical processing. You see a lot of women walking around with highlights, you know, the bleach, hydrogen peroxide, and the you know, the monothioglycolates, you know, the straightening, sodium hydroxide, they're using very strong, powerful chemicals. Mm-hmm. So you've got to give something back. You can't keep taking. Otherwise, you pay the price. You're going to get thinner. Mm-hmm. So this is it. And then you've got the aging process as well. All women will lose hair when they come to menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, because of hormone fluctuation. Mm-hmm. Estrogen has no more, you know, it decreases in the body, so it has no more effect. And then the male hormone, the powerful hormone, the baddie, takes over. And there's hair thinning. So if we just take the male pattern baldness, 50% of all men will go bald. 20% of all 20-year-olds today are losing their hair through male pattern baldness. 50% of all 50-year-olds losing their hair through male pattern baldness. 85% of all men will suffer hair loss at some stage in their life. Let's just part that one up. Let's take the female pattern hair loss, the genetic hereditary types. 30% of all women will lose their hair through female pattern hair loss. 40% of all 50-year-olds today are losing their hair through hair thinning from female pattern hair loss. And there's 44 other types of hair loss as well. Diffuse hair loss, temporary hair loss as well. I mean, your alopecia areata, totalis, you know, traction alopecias and various different types. So hair loss comes in two types, scarring, non-scarring. That can come into three main categories, metabolic, hormone, chemical and physical. And everybody fits into those categories. So maintenance is very, very important. Following good hair care regimes is very, very important. Otherwise, you'll spend a lot of money on transplants and everything else, all these other different types of treatments that people tend to be running off to.
Yeah, there is a huge trend, at least a few years ago, that a lot of people from the Middle East were going to Turkey for their hair transplants. And honestly, like, I've been on Turkey airports, like half the airport are people with transplants, and like, it doesn't look really good. I don't know what happens later, but like, I've seen...
This is the fear factor of hair. So you go back to Charles Darwin, you know, 1870, you know, basically hair gives us our sexuality. It gives men their vitality and youth, gives women their femininity and beauty. So, you know, if I'm sitting here and I've got an AA7, just a strip of hair here, I'm looking 10 years older. So, you know, if you have a good day, you have a good hair day. Have a bad day, you have a bad hair day. So hair creates a lot of stress, a lot of problems. It's, you know, people can lose their self-esteem. It creates people with isolation. There's been a lot of suicides, depression. Depression. So, you know, as an individual, you've got three young men, you know, going out trying to mix, socialize, to speak to the opposite sex. And, you know, one guy's losing his hair. He's got a massive inferiority complex. His self-esteem is low. His confidence is low. He's taken all different types of medications. So it's not a nice position to be in. So we all want to look young and beautiful. And why not? We've got one life, one body. So look as healthy and as fit and as good looking as we can. And
I agree.
So it's, and again, it's all down to maintenance and what you're actually using.
What about nutrients? What is the role of nutrition in hair maintenance and hair loss?
Well, it's very important because hair is made up of an insoluble mixture of sulfur protein, alpha keratin. It's a dead cell. So 80% of the hair is protein, it's keratin. 20% is water, it's lipids, you know, basically it's pigment cells, it's minerals. So protein is very important for hair growth. Obviously, most of the nutrition, always follow a good mixed balanced diet, breakfast, lunch, dinner, meat, fish, fruits, vegetables, you know, recommend daily amounts of vitamins and minerals to maintain that good hair growth. Hair grows in cycles. Anagen is a full growth cycle from 2 to 4 years, and it slows down into cancerogen, which is a transitional period. And then you go into telogen, where hair rests and falls out. So on average, you're losing between, you're anywhere between 60 to 100 hairs a day, which is quite normal. So as long as you're growing more hair than you're losing, you're fine. If you're losing more hair than you're growing, you're getting thinner. So this is it. But so it's all about maintaining those growth cycles. And nutrition plays a major part in that. So does scalp health and hygiene as well. So it's maintenance, back to maintenance again.
Do you think the increase of like all of these artificial foods and artificial sweeteners and artificial everything and hydrogenated oils and all of these things, that people are more in the last maybe 10 to 15 years, more and more people are looking at these artificial sources of food, which our bodies never had chances to understand. We don't understand these nutrients. Could this also be, we know that this is definitely taking a decline in people's health. Could this also be the same thing that is declining people's hair?
Well, processed foods, which a lot of people eat, don't they? People only know today with lifestyle.
Especially here in the UAE.
People are so busy rushing around, so they're not getting the right amount of nutrients that the body's requiring each day. And yet this is a very, very good point, CJ. Absolutely.
What about stress?
Stress may create a major factor anyway. I mean, stress is no good for anybody, is it? The more stress you're under, the cortisol level goes up in the body. This affects the hair growth. Anything can disturb that cycle. You know, stress, sleep, you know, accidents, illnesses, operations, you know, medications, if you're on blood thinners, beta blockers, antidepressants, you know, diabetes, medication, contraceptives, anything can disturb those growth cycles. So, you know, and as I say, it's smoking, creates more DHT in the blood, you know, any alcohol abuse, lack of minerals. A lot of ladies tend to be anemic, you know, lack of iron, ferritin store. So, you know, you've got to have the blood markers, check out that everything's in balance internally in the body, and then you're doing everything maintenance externally in the body, and then this is the best way to maintain the hair growth cycles and get a very good density and overall volume on your scalp.
When I was very young, I always used to hear people say that if you're stressed, your hair turns gray. Is this true?
Well, if you're in shock, people say when you have a major shock, you know, your hair turns gray overnight. Well, actually, the pigment cells, yes, I mean, they are affected by this. But again, diet is very important for this, certain minerals as well. You know, manganese, you know, basically vitamin B is very important. But in general, it's genetic. Most people, you know, have coloured hair, you know, but it's black, brown, you know, blonde hair, redhead, up until their mid-30s. And then most people tend to get 10% grey. And that's genetic as well. Lifestyle plays a big part in that. Obviously, nutrition plays a big part of that, but mainly it's genetic as well. But stress, absolutely right. You know, and grey hair, it's not grey hair or salt and pepper hair. It's actually, when you look at a light refraction, it's clear hair. There's lack of pigment in the hair, which is basically, which is pheomelanin, eumelanin. So this is what it is. But it's still good hair. It's just more coarse hair. Just needs more looking after.
These days, it's very stylish to have like a salt and pepper look.
Well, it suits some people. It was on their skin complexion, you know, and it's like with hair loss, certain people, whether they've got a round face or square face or diamond shape. So again, it all depends on your basic physiological makeup. But yes, at the end of the day, it's nothing's better. I mean, a male, you know, basically with male pattern baldness, you know, hair loss would do anything to reverse this, and so would any female. So this is it. This is why the biggest cosmetic surgery today is hair transplants. It's not facelifts, it's not fillers, it's not Botox, it's not, you know, tummy tucks. It's hair transplants because it's the major thing, you know, to give us our identity.
A lot of the people who have their hair turning gray, they resolve to like coloring them back to black or blonde or whatever. How, I know you mentioned earlier with these hosts of different chemicals in these, is there any natural way to take your hair back to its original color by providing any kind of melanin or like all of these?
Not really. I mean, as I say, there are different types of people color their hair, as you just said. I mean, if you have permanent color, paraffinolene, toluene dyes, which are very powerful, you know, chemicals, you should go to a good colorist, a good tinter to have this done. I mean, a lot of people try and do it themselves, but they create a lot of problems themselves because they get a lot of the color on the scalp. So this creates problems in itself. So, you know, semi-permanents, people have body waves, they have perms, everything to make themselves look younger. A lot of ladies today have highlights, which are a little bit more gentle, and low lights, you know, and things like this. But it's as your natural color as you were younger, and you try to keep that look as you're getting older. So you go with the natural color and this type of thing. But color definitely does make us look younger, yes. If somebody's gray, you've got more chance of telling somebody's age if they're gray or basically if they're hair thinning.
What about the use of technology? What have you seen? Technology.
Well, there's better colors today. As I say, there is organic colors. They won't give the total, you know, coverage on the scalp up to 70%, 65%, whatever. Not like the very big paraffinolene toluene dyes. But they again, they're more mild, they're more gentle, so they're better for the condition of the hair. So you've got to weigh this up. So
what about red light and lasers?
Red light therapy, anywhere you can add more circulation to the scalp, obviously, surface active, which is good. Lasers can be good. We've used all the different therapies over the years. We've used mezzo, we use high frequency, galvanic, phoretic, short of ultraviolet, lasers. So, yes, anywhere they can enhance the blood circulation, more microcirculation in the scalp is a good thing. Yes, because that helps increase the hair growth, obviously. But I'll get back to it. The main thing is taking particular attention to the, you know, the health and hygiene of the scalp and the well-being of the scalp. So unclog those hair follicles, slow down that hair aging. This is what everybody can do if they're using the right processes and maintaining a very good hair care regime. So this is it. You pay for what you get. You know, you can't buy a cheap shampoo that's going to keep your scalp nice and healthy. You know, they have surveys in America, a Miami research team took hundreds of products off the market and found out after 4 to 5 months, they were still seeing white deposits round the follicle, creating a lot of hair loss. This again was to do with the silicone, the acrylates, the parabens, you know, the polymers, the perfumes, the pearlized products. So again, there's a lot of junk hair cosmetics out there. The rule of thumb is if you can't use a shampoo on your face, you can't use it on your scalp.
That's a good rule to follow.
Well, that's exactly what it is. So if you wouldn't wash your face with it, don't put it on your scalp. Mm-hmm. Because the scalp is far more sensitive than the skin on your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least our skin can get some microcirculation, but like they're very hard. Like apart from using technology like red light therapy or near infrared or like doing some, maybe some handstand or something like this, I don't think there's a lot of ways to actually drive more microcirculation and blood flow to the hair follicles, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, as I say, we were speaking earlier on when we were saying about, you know, standing on your head and hanging your head over the end of the bed. I mean, anywhere you can build up more blood circulation is useful. I mean, don't do it so you make yourself dizzy. But as I say, these are all good things. Red light therapy is good. You know, laser is good. You know, if you're using it properly, this is it. But it's using combination lotions with the red light therapy, which is more effective with the lasers. Things like the lotions, combination lotions.
I mean, is it because it could drive the lotion deep into the scalp?
Well, this is what we do. We have something called a TR3, which was developed by, you know, the world's leading experts in hair and scalp, trichologists, of research and development for many years. We've used it in the clinic for years. It's a combination lotion, you know, basically. It's a very powerful scalp lotion. It prolongs hair growth, prevents hair loss. It's a combination lotion. It inhibits the 5-alpha reductase. This is the two enzymes on the scalp, which come together with the testosterone and create the dehydrotestosterone, which creates all the hair loss. It's a DHT blocker. It boosts the hair root metabolism. It builds up, it's a vasodilator. It builds up more microcirculation, more blood circulation, oxidation, and nutrients to the scalp. It's used by thousands of men and women on a daily basis to maintain their hair growth twice a day. Doctors, healthcare professionals, dermatologists, trichologists love this product because there are no known side effects. And it's a C-grade 1 medical device. So it's got all the authenticity of efficacy of any product. There are a lot of products out there that people use, basically, which wasn't developed for maintaining hair growth. One was developed for high blood pressure. The other was developed for prostate. And they're two of the biggest, you know, basically what people, men and women, use them today, but they have got major side effects. So to me, it's always better to use something with no known side effects, which is very effective, which has been developed by experts in the field.
I think that's really important. Someone who's had the experience and expertise to look at multiple different heads and multiple different hairs. You just can't get around it.
No, you can't, because it's a big business today. You know, if you've got a problem with your heart, go and see a cardiologist. Problem with your brain, go and see a neurologist. You know, don't see a cardiologist for your teeth. And this is it. You've got to be sensible about these things. So people can do their own research today. You've got AI, you know, you've got all different things where you can go and get different information. So you be your own sort of medical profession and professional today and to look after yourself, your own well-being.
We speak about the 5-alpha reductase pathway and the DHT. Another common misconception, or maybe it's not a misconception, is that men who have high levels of testosterone, have you heard this one before? Oh. Men who have high levels of testosterone will get bald faster, or like they will have male pattern balding accelerated at a faster rate.
Well, testosterone creates 10% of all DHT on all adults on a daily basis. It all depends to which level. Sensitivity of the hair follicle. But mainly it's predisposed. You know, if we take the two genetics, the hereditary types, the male pattern baldness, which obviously what you see your uncle and your father bald, and then the female pattern hair loss, these are the main two types. This is all to do with DHT, when this actually kicks in. It can kick in during adolescence. You know, the earlier it kicks in, the worse it normally is. You can get late onsets or later in life, so people can have their hair up to 40, 45. Doesn't mean to say that you're not going to lose your hair. It can kick in later. So this is it, and it's all about controlling the DHT. But again, it comes back to the health and hygiene of the scalp. The more hygienic, the less DHT on this scalp, obviously less damage to the follicle. The DHT, which is the most powerful male hormone in the body, you've got the two enzymes on your scalp, 5-alpha reductase, they come together, they hit testosterone, that converts to even more powerful hormone called dehydrotestosterone. That sticks to the receptor sites, the side of the follicle, makes the follicle become shorter and shorter, and the hair become thinner and thinner, till eventually you've got no hair. It's scar tissue. So, you know, you can't reproduce new follicles. Follicles are produced in the fetus, you know, basically it's fetus hair and 22 weeks and that's it. So every follicle is valuable. Otherwise, you're back down the transplant room. So all you're actually doing is taking hair from a donor site to a recipient site. So it's hair follicle relocation. So every hair is valuable. Look after every hair. You know, look after that scalp and you can still have good hair growth right up until your 90s.
Well, that's a dream for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I've seen people do two things. Either they get scared of DHT and they block it completely, or they use something locally and they block it only on their hair. Which one's better? Because there are some things out there like minoxidil. And what's your take on that? Because I'm only asking this because for the common person who is unaware about all of these different pathways and all of these different interactions, they go to their average doctor and the doctor says, yeah, just go on minoxidil or something.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's a two-pronged attack, isn't it, really? For me, I always think of the well-being of the body. You know, okay, so you're stabilizing something, but then later on in life, you could have major side effects. Mm-hmm. I mean, blurred vision, heart palpitations, dizziness,
hormone
disruptors, you know, all different things. So if there's things out there by experts in the field of hair and scalp who are the complete experts because they've studied that, you know, all their life, then I would take that route. And if there's something with no known side effects, then that's even better. I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. So as I said, the TR3 has been used in the clinics for over 40 years. We're having some marvelous results on men and women. As I said earlier on, it inhibits the 5-alpha reductase. It's a DHT, a very powerful DHT blocker. It boosts the hair root metabolism. Hair only grows when the cells divide every 23 to 72 hours, you know, basically. So it's a vasodilator, brings a lot of blood circulation, oxidation, and nutrients to the follicle, which is very, very important. And again, it's C-grade 1 medical device, and there are no known side effects. So that's the route I would go, rather than taking something which you could have long-term side effects later on.
And most people do have side effects for that.
It's always side effects, you know, basically. As I said, you can have, you know, liver problems, whatever. I mean, men, if certain, what you said earlier on, there's another one which can cause low libido.
Yeah, what is that called? Like, I'm blanking on the name.
That's because of F.
Yeah, okay. What about, what about our environment? Like, we were talking about the water in our environment. That's pretty major in, like, this country. What about artificial light? Like right now we're in a studio surrounded by some warm lighting, but of course it's blue in nature, and the prevalence of blue light from our screens, from the overhead lighting, does that affect the hair?
It's like anything in general, not to a great extent. I mean, over a period of time it can do, but as you said, like red light is very good, surface active blood circulation, things like that. I mean, if we take the sun, I mean, the sun can be very useful. I mean, you only need 3 hours of sunlight a week to build up the maximum vitamin D. I mean, you need sunlight, you know, basically vitamin D. It's all very, very important. Everything plays a part for hair growth, like it does for skin, cellular activity, skin rejuvenation, everything else. I mean, skin only repairs, rejuvenates every 27 days, past the age of 84 days. So again, it's maintaining everything throughout life. And as we get older, things will slow down. This is why we need to focus more on maintenance on the body. If we want to look younger, keep good hair growth, keep nice skin and everything else. It's like elasticity in your skin and your eyesight. As you get older, it deteriorates. But if you maintain it, you still have very good skin, good collagen in the skin, good elasticity. Keep the skin very well hydrated. It's exactly the same thing with the scalp. You know, hair being a dead cell, if you cut it, it doesn't bleed. You know, it needs hydration. So it needs to be rehydrated. So it's very important, the different types of conditioners you use. You know, as again, most of the conditioners are waxes, they're oils, they're balsams, they're only surface active. They're only anti-statics. Most of it goes down the sink. But in a lot of good, you know, internal conditioners today, you know, basically, which are leave-in conditioners, which build up more elasticity, more sheen, more gloss to the hair, make the hair easier to manage. So again, it's using the right products for the scalp, for the hair growth, for the hair condition, and the right nutrition. This is why we follow a four-step program. Yeah, everything, first of all, unless you get the foundation right, the structure, the strength right, it doesn't matter what you do. So we pay particular attention to the health and hygiene in the scalp, the well-being in the scalp, getting the scalp a very good pH, which is very good. Then we go on to basic conditioning, to strengthening, to keep what you got, make it a lot stronger. And then we go on basically for the scalp lotion, for the circulation, for maintaining those hair growth cycles. And then we go into the nutrition side. So we work on the body as a whole. So internally as well as externally to give the maximum effect.
That's great, because most of the times people think that a body, like your daily health routines will be completely different to your hair health. It's not. It's like all interconnected.
It's all interconnected.
Body is one system.
It is one system. Yeah, that's right. So as I say, know your genetic type and everything else. You know, it's something you can't get away with. You know, you clean your teeth every day, you wash your face every day, you should be washing your hair every day and just maintaining, you know, those hair care regimes, dental regimes, skin care regimes on a daily basis. And it's something we all have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to eat every day. We have to sleep every day. Sleep is very important for hair growth. It's for, you know, rejuvenating, repairing the body, all these different types of things, combinations of things that the body has to do and needs.
So I'm sure if like sleep is important, then exercise, movement will also be important.
Absolutely. Exercise is important, you know, basically for blood circulation, for building up, you know, a body mass, keeping muscle mass as we get older. Our muscles get, you know, a lot thinner, a lot shorter.
Sarcopenia.
Start depleting. That's right. So you have to maintain yourself throughout life.
What about invisible things? Now, there's a huge talk about electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic fields. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, there are. I mean, say the body is, we're made of electricity. So we've got electrical fields, we've got magnetic fields. If we take the universe, you know, there's trillions of vibrations. Every vibration's got a frequency. So water's a frequency, bread is a frequency, all these different types of things. And we've got continual disturbances in the body through different outside EMFs. So you've got your Bluetooth, you've got your, obviously, your Wi-Fi, you've got your microwave. You know, you got your power cables,
5G towers,
5G towers,
repeaters.
That's exactly right. All this creates sickness, creates imbalances in the body. So these are all proven factors. So anywhere you can keep yourself in balance, this is what you've got to do. Yes. So there's a lot of different frequency cells and things like that, which help different for pain management, you know, basically.
Is there one for hair?
Years and years of research and development, we've just come up with one actually for the scalp.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Tell me more.
Because it's what we've actually done is we've taken the TR3, we know the biochemical composition of the TR3, identical. So we've digitized that into a memory chip, into a memory cell, which is a quartz and a magnetism. And you put that on the seventh nodule on the head, and that contains a complete frequency field 24/7 over the scalp. So it activates the follicle. It's good for blood circulation. It's also very good for sleep as well. So we have some people have, you know, basically been sleeping a lot better since they've been using a frequency cell. But this is quantum medicine. You know, frequencies, you know, is a completely different field. So, but this is all advanced technology, what we've gone into as well. Anywhere we can maintain a better scalp, better hair growth, then this is obviously what we're into.
And like, is this a device that you have to wear?
It's a small device. What you actually do, it's digitized. The power stays in there for nearly up to a year. So use a TR3 with that twice a day. You put it on the back of your neck. You keep it on for about 6 days. It's got a plaster, which is medical grade plaster there. And we say take it off after 5 to 6 days just to give it a rest. You can wash your hair with it. You can play sports with it. You can go through the scanner at the airport with it. The only thing you can't do is have an ECG. It will mess that up. But it's a frequency totally for the scalp.
Interesting.
So this is one of the latest technology. And so there's always different advancements for hair growth. And anywhere we can see better hair growth and further advancements, this is what we're into. You know, quality assurance is critical in every stage of research and development and manufacture of our range of products. It's made for all races, for all different types of hair, straight, wavy, curly, tightly curled, all different types of textures, your fine, medium, coarse hair, all different types of permeabilities, porosities, moisture contents. So this is what we're into. You know, attention to detail. You know, we do the disease reversal, and this is what we are. Less is more. Less is more. So, say you see products today, you'll see literally 20, 30 ingredients.
Yeah.
They mean nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all about having the active material to do a specific job. This is very, very
important. And even consistency, right? Because a lot of people want to add everything to their life, but they don't want to eat. They're never consistent.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Consistency is the key to all success.
Yeah. What are you most excited about the future?
I'm seeing the technologies. I'm very, very excited about our new frequency cell. You know, as I say, it's a bioenergetic wearable. TR3 is even advanced. It's even enhanced that even more. So that's very, very good. I mean, it's nothing better than seeing somebody, you know, happy, getting their hair growth back. And I've seen all the depression, I've seen the suicides, the anxiety. I've looked at thousands and thousands of
heads. Divorces, I'm sure.
Divorces, absolutely. Yeah, no, no. Bold is not beautiful. I mean, I say it's, you know, why the last six presidents of the United States of America all got a full head of hair? I mean, it's leadership, decision making, it's image, it's social media. It's important to all of us.
Yeah.
So we all like to look good, feel good. As I say, it's, it gives us our image, doesn't it?
And your healthy hair is also a sign of your healthy body. So,
well, the hair is a barometer of your health. We can do a trichogram, a mental analysis, and I can tell you if you've been taking medication, any drugs for 5 years ago. So, yes, the DNA, everybody's hair DNA is different. There's no two people with the same DNA of hair. I mean, they've even convicted people of murder on hair strands. So, you know, we're going
to... You can also see a lot of the heavy... There are also tests that can also test for heavy metals, right?
Absolutely. The hair. Absolutely. The mercury you can find from hair, different copper from hair, all different minerals from hair. Beethoven died 1640. They found out how Beethoven actually died. You know, he was a manic depressive. He was drinking cheap wine because he was death, and which was laced with lead acetate. And this is all found from Beethoven's hair samples. So, yeah, I mean, hair is a science in itself. You know,
tells you a lot of stories.
Tells you a lot of stories. That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, I do a lot of forensics with hair. So it's a big subject. So it plays a major part.
If someone wants to go through your four-step process that you mentioned earlier, do they have to book an appointment with you?
We have a clinic in Dubai. We have our website in Dubai. And, you know, basically they can go there, they can see the products. We also, somebody wants a consultation, you know, we have a hair care technician.
Who's so they there. Can know about their hairstyle.
Can finally. Yeah, and we've got a whole team of experts that work behind us. We have trichologists, hair and scalp specialists. We have doctors, we work with doctors. You know, we have dermatologists. So we have a whole team of people involved in hair that we work with as well. So
right here in Dubai.
In Dubai, that's right. Okay. Yeah. We can do, you know, questions and answers. They come for consultations, case history, prognosis, diagnosis. So we can tell them anything they want to know about their hair, scalp, hair loss.
Do you also have an online shop that people can shop from?
There is an online shop as well. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that.
MarkBirchHair.ie.
So, okay. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. MarkBirchHair.ie. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm sure after listening to this conversation, a lot of people will be fascinated on, like, at least... The one thing that everyone should take away from this conversation is that look after your scalp.
Look after your scalp.
Clean your scalp. Use the right products.
That's exactly right. Slow down hair aging. As I say, look after the scalp. You can have very, very good results, good density, good oval volume. And this is what people want. It makes a huge difference when somebody's got very nice conditioned hair, you know, good density, good volume. Yeah.
Okay. What about if there is someone listening to this in like a very... in some remote area and he doesn't have access to any of these products, can't walk into a clinic in Dubai, what are some of the natural things that people can do to also improve or like clean their scalp? Like what is available in nature? What does Mother Nature have to offer?
Well, there's a lot of plants which help cleanse the hair, obviously, but it's quite a process. I mean, all our products are plant-based. They're very mild, they're very gentle, very powerful ingredients. They've all been heavily researched, but as I say, I suppose it's to try and use something with less perfume, less foam booster, you know, 30 different ingredients in there, something very light, something very gentle. But there's very few products out there today like that because, you know.
Why do you think there are so many?
Well, it's just all still sales, you know, the manufacturing, the marketing, you know, big multinationals. Even the cheap products contain a lot of nasties as well. So, you know.
Is it cheaper to make them and then you have higher profit margins?
Well, it's mass production, isn't it? It's mass production. So specialized products do cost more because the ingredients are far more expensive. You know, the manufacturing process is far more detailed. So if you're treating somebody with very sensitive scalps, you know, basically who are allergic to lots of things, you have to use very mild, very gentle products, you know, which are very active. So this is it. So perfumes, foam boosters, you know, thickening agents
don't work. Because a lot of people can go over years like using these and they don't work and they actually spoil your hair health even more. So the way I look at it is like, if people are educated, right, they will be willing to spend a little bit more on things that work because then it avoids them these embarrassing situations.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as I say, you pay for what you get. Something's very heavily researched. If something contains very good ingredients, I mean, you can take a car, you can take, you know, the top of the range or a very cheap car. They both get you from A to B, but it's the quality, you know, it's the technology, it's everything else. So, you know, but it makes a huge difference when you're using the right hair care products. Mm. It really does, because as I said before, the scalp contains a lot of blood vessels. It contains a lot of oil glands and sweat glands. And
it's like an organ.
It's an organ in itself, and it gets dirty very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more bacteria, you know, on the scalp and everything else, you're going to create more problems. Mm. So it's just nice to know that the scalp's clean and healthy with good microcirculation, with a very good pH of the scalp. pH of the scalp, 4.5, 5.5. pH of the hair, 3.67. So if you've got the balance right on the scalp and on the hair, then you've got very good conditioned hair and very good hair growth. And this is what people want. Mm. Otherwise, it costs you a fortune otherwise to try and recorrect that. Mm. You know, transplants and scalp problems.
And they don't always work, right?
I mean, basically, it's like anything else. That's a different subject altogether. I mean, transplants, as I say, it's a majority, a lot of transplants, FUE, FUT, robotic, you know, direct hair implants, as I say, it's a science in itself. A lot of research people have to do on their own body and their own hair type.
Mm.
You know, most doctors will give you the transplant, which they can do, you know, which is their procedure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case, you know, so, you know,
I always prefer going the natural route, like start off with like the basics, because some things like the thing is like the way medical science is moving and the way like we hear about newer things like trends, they're happening more of like at a TikTok, you know, this app TikTok, like it happens at that speed, but human biology doesn't change at that speed.
No, it doesn't.
So what has been good for the last 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years is the same thing that's going to last for the next 10,000 years as well.
Yeah.
So try to focus on that first.
Yeah.
Those things which you will have access to easily.
And yeah, get back to basics. Yeah. As I say, nothing's better than your own hair. Grow as much of your own hair as possible. Strengthen as much of your own hair as possible.
Mm. Before you take your hair to the gym?
Pardon?
Can you take your hair to the gym?
Well, absolutely. When you go to the gym, obviously you take your products with you. You're going to sweat, aren't you? You're going to lose a lot of toxins in your body. You're sweating. Mm. There's bacteria. There's oil. So, you know, it's like anything else. If you come out of the sea, there's salt water. Don't just run your head under the tap. Shampoo your hair. Get the salt out of your hair. If you're in the chlorine in the swimming pool, shampoo the hair.
Mm.
You know, chlorine does a lot of damage to the scalp.
Don't think it's really bad for health as well.
Very bad, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so it's bad for health, so it's automatically bad for your scalp.
Yes, absolutely. Scalp and skin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, you also mentioned earlier that people are in an AC environment, then they go into humidity, and then they come back into an AC environment. Should they also shampoo their, like, hair at that point?
Yeah, if you've been sweating, you know, on the day, obviously. I mean, you how many times a day do you wash your face? 2 or 3 times a day? What's the difference between this and this? I just said the oil glands and sweat glands are far bigger in the scalp.
Mm.
So if you're washing your face 2 or 3 times a day, why are you washing your hair once a week? Do you expect it to take care of itself, to have good hygiene of the scalp, to have good hair growth? Mm. It's impossible. You know, unclog those hair follicles. Detoxify their hair follicles.
How many times minimum should a person in an area like the UAE shampoo their hair? Every day?
At least once a day. If you're doing sports and things like that, give it another shampoo in the evening. If you've been sweating a lot, yes. I mean, what happens if you don't wash down here for a day? It's bacteria, it's odour, it's sweat. It's exactly the same thing on the scalp because you can't see it.
Yes, exactly.
It's still a living organ.
Mm. So a lot of people ignore it. Okay.
Skin being the largest organ in the human body, as I say, but scalp is part of that. And this is it. There's so many misconceptions with this.
So every time you go to the beach, these days people are going to the beach a lot because of like the weather is nice.
Well, you're
going to
be in the sun, you're going to be in the sea. So, you know, basically shampoo the hair once when you get home or if there's a shower there before you come off the beach. You won't just get out the sea and come off the beach and not have a shower because you'll be itching.
Yeah.
You're sweating. It's exactly the same thing.
Is it good to wash your head in the morning, in the afternoon or in the evening?
That all depends on people and their lifestyle. Okay. I mean, some people, whatever's easy for people to do, but, you know, wash it at least once a day with a good shampoo suitable for your type of scalp and a good conditioner suitable for your type of hair.
Okay. And you also mentioned these leave-in internal conditioners?
Leave-in conditioners are very good because a lot of the conditioners on the market...
Is it the same as hair masks?
No,
hair
masks, hair masks are more proteins, more fatty acids, fatty tissues. Conditioners, leave-in conditioners are very good because they aid more elasticity to the hair.
Okay.
And make the hair easier to manage so the hair doesn't become very dry, very fragile and splits very easily. So, as I said before, hair is hygroscopic. It needs moisture content. It needs rehydrating.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't hydrate itself. It just will get more damaged. Mm-hmm. And if you're living here, obviously, with the UV and everything, you need to have good condition in the hair. That's very important to do that.
And how long should you leave this conditioner in for?
You leave it. Until you rinse it out, until you shampoo the hair again. It soaks into the cuticle, the cortex of the hair,
mm-hmm.
makes the hair more elastic and adds more sheen and more gloss and more volume to the hair. It just makes it more easier for you to manage. There's more than an external conditioner, which is a wax, which is only surface active, anti-static, mm-hmm. or a balsam or an oil, which obviously doesn't do very much.
Okay, this is a low-hanging fruit that everyone can.
Hair masks are very good as well. I mean, yeah.
That's what I've heard about. Like
hair masks are good, a very good mask because they contain a lot of protein and fatty acids as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hydrate the hair to its maximum hydration. You know, basically they strengthen the hair. They condition the hair, which are very, very good. So anybody that's having any chemical process in highlights, lowlights, should be using a hair mask at least once a week. So a conditioner every time you shampoo your hair and a good hair mask at least once a week.
When I was in school, I had shorter hair then.
Yeah.
And there was this trend of like everyone like having either using hair gels like for men or hair waxes, and they make your hair super like tight. Like we used to like spike up our hair. So how does that grow? I'm sure now what I know about now after listening
to you. Fashion and styling and things like that. But gels, glycol, it's a plasticizer, can do a lot. You know, if you're using gel on, you have to shampoo it because you have to get it off the hair because it can get on the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
And the more it gets on the scalp, the more it clogs the scalp. And as I said before, so hairspray is one of the worst because it's shellac, it's alcohol, it's glue, it's a fixative. So a lot of these products we call, hair junk cosmetics. You know, they're only fixative, they're superficial for a certain period of time, but you have to get them rinsed off the hair. You have to get them rinsed off the scalp if you want good health and hygiene of the scalp and good hair growth.
Mm-hmm. That also happens a lot in this region. A lot of people use all of these junk cosmetics, and because of that people are at the later stage just losing their hair.
Well, it's a quick fix, isn't it? It's again, it's all about styling your hair and the different hair care regimes in the morning, but think more about keeping the hair, the health and the hygiene of the hair, the health and hygiene of the scalp. As I say, if you're using internal conditioners, they're not doing any damage to the hair. Even if you do get a bit on the scalp, because they're proteins and fatty acids, you shouldn't use them on the scalp. They won't do any damage to the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, keeping those growth cycles, keeping that health and hygiene of the scalp. Which is
what about hair oil?
No, massive misconceptions. Mm-hmm. I mean, if your scalp didn't produce its own oil, the microcirculation, the bacteria flora in the scalp, your scalp would crack, split and bleed. A lot of people use a lot of oils on their scalp and create a lot of hair loss. And these again, this is cultural as well.
Uh-huh.
But
in many cultures, they say like oil your hair or...
Oil on the scalp will create more bacteria. When you put in oil on the scalp, you're producing your own oil, which is lipids, lipid glands from the sebaceous glands. There's over 100,000 sebaceous glands on the scalp anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're producing oil on oil, and then you've got sweat. Oil and water don't mix. That creates bacteria. Okay, so you've got your own bacterial flora on the scalp, and all this goes into the follicle and creates more toxicity. So oils can do a lot of damage on the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about like, I've heard these old school remedies of like squeezing out like onion or garlic juice and then putting it on your hair, like this
well,
sort?
The people put yogurt on their hair, they put strawberries on their hair, bananas, I use anything on the hair. No, I mean, basically...
That's not a good way to put the nutrients in.
No, not at all. I mean, as I say, the scalp, the epidermis is a dead cell anyway. So what you do externally makes no difference. So you just keep it clean.
Mm.
You know, all the activity goes underneath the scalp in the dermis and in the hydrodermis.
Mm.
Hypodermis. So this is where all the activity takes place. So no, putting oranges and strawberries and yogurts on top of the head doesn't do anything whatsoever. You should eat it for the nutrition value.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about derma rolling?
Derma rolling, I mean, microneedling, it can be good, but only if it's used by a proper professional. I've seen a lot of people create a lot of scalp disorders, scar tissue, a lot of hair loss by pulling their own hair out. So again, derma rolling, as I say, is an expertise in itself. I wouldn't advise anybody to derma roll their own scalp. No.
Got it.
No, not at all. So, you know, this is it. It can be useful.
So if it's done by like a professional person.
If it's done by a professional person, then yes. Mm. Otherwise, it can be very painful. You know, it can cause abrasions on the scalp. Yeah.
I've also seen people use like a lot of powerful antioxidants and then massage them into their scalp.
Nah.
Does that work?
No. Antioxidants are very good internally in the body. And obviously for, you know, taking out the debris in the body, having good blood circulation, cleaner blood. Also for fighting the free radicals. But antioxidants are very, very good. But taken internally, but not externally on the scalp, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What's the most funniest thing you've seen someone do for their hair health?
Put mud on their head, put mud on their scalp. There's many, many different factors.
I'm sure there's a business around it.
Oh, there is.
Mud hair.
There is. There's a lot.
Mudyourhair.com.
Yeah. No, people try all these different things to grow their hair back and improve the health of their scalp. Yeah.
What about meditation?
Meditation is good for you anyway. You know, basically anywhere you can calm the body, create good balance in the body has got to be a good thing. Yes. I say the less stress you've got in the body, less cortisol in the body. Yes.
But you've always got to do it. It's not like now your hair starts losing or now you're too far off that line and you start your meditation.
Meditation, visualization, all these things are very good anyway. You know, let's say the more you can keep yourself positive, positive thinking is very, very good. You know, improves the health of the body, which is that's what we want. So, yes. And as I said before, anywhere you've got a negative impact on the body will have a negative impact on hair growth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about genetics. Does it happen in a specific order? Like, do like gene pools? Like, you got some genes from mom, some genes from dad. Who are you more likely to? Which hair balding pattern will you most likely adopt?
But if genetics come from, you take X gene from your mother, 23 chromosomes. You take a Y gene from your father, 23 chromosomes. You're 46. Whose hair does your hair look like the most? I mean, a lot of people look at their uncles, their brothers.
Grandfathers sometimes.
Makes no difference. It's normally from a second generation back, whether being on mother's side or father's side.
Okay.
It can come from both sides. Well, that's a more severe hair loss.
Uh-huh.
You can go back to number three. You can go back to number four. But normally it sits around number two.
Okay.
So back to genetics, number two. So this is where we use as an indication. So on the Hamilton scale, you see from the hereditary types, you'll see from an AA1 to an AA7, the worst type where you just got a tiny little strip of hair and you're totally bald on top.
A lot of Indians have it.
A lot of Indians have it and it's getting worse. And sometimes you see just a little bit in the crown or high hairline, whatever. So they're all genetics, you know, basic genetic predisposed. But again, maintenance can slow that down, can even grow some of the hair. If you can grow the hair while the follicle is still active, this is what you've got to do. Even dormant hair you can grow. Once the follicle becomes atrophied, the follicle comes away from the scalp, it crushes and dies, and that's the end of it. So, you know, every hair is valuable.
Will we ever be able to change our genetics?
Well, by changing the genetics.
Gene editing. You think?
But then what else are you going to change? This is it.
I'm sure there is a lot of things that people want to change, but do you think in the near future, like, you're in this industry for so long.
Yeah.
Are there already talks about like CRISPR or like other gene editing modules that people are like, you know what? I'm just going to edit my child's DNA so this child doesn't get bald anymore.
Well, there's lots of research and development on the hair growth. Obviously, we're from stem cells to all different types
of cells.
Yeah, and as I say, it's many, many, many different aspects and different things, procedures that people are looking into. You know, exosomes, you've got your peptides, you know, you've got your PRP, you know.
Let's talk about those. I'm sure everyone's heard about stem cells, like PRP. I know this is like an injection, platelet-rich plasma. What is it actually and how does it help with hair growth?
Well, obviously, basically by taking the blood, you know, 40 mils of blood, put them in a centrifuge, crushing it, taking out the buffy coat, you know, taking out the growth factors, using shallow injections back in the scalp can be useful. But only if it's done by a very, very skilled and professional, you know, hair care professional. So again, a lot of these things, again, they don't work, you know. So again, it's how the process is actually done. A lot of it's to do with the filtering. Take the blood markers, you know, 800,000 red blood corpuscles. So take the blood test first, see the bloods, see the different types, you know, of growth factors, and then you work from there. A lot of these processes don't work because they're not done by skilled professionals.
And stem cells, if someone injects certain amount of stem cells, exosomes?
You got to be very careful with that. I'd speak to your doctor about that before you go down any of these routes, as I say, because they can have quite a few side effects as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go with the topical solutions far better than nutrition. Get the health, the well-being of the scalp first. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you still got to get that right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like anything, having transplants. I mean, when you have a transplant can be very good, but you know, the average transplant, you can have up to 30 to 40% pop-outs where the hair grafts come out within the first year, 18 months. So this is it. Pre-treatment, post-treatment is very, very important. Build the scalp up, get the health hygiene, get the well-being of the scalp right. Then when you have the transplant done, the transplant's a lot better and lasts a lot longer. And then you've still got to have post-treatment. You can't just have a transplant and then just use any old shampoo. Don't wash your hair, because
that's what most people do.
You'll be back at another transplant within 18 months to 2 years. So this is it, pre and post treatment.
Transplant hurts.
Transplants like any operation. It's got a...
You guys, whoever is listening, you don't want to do that.
But it's getting the transplant right. Check out the surgeon, the most competent surgeon. Check out his procedures. Have a look at his case histories. Don't just go for a transplant because some transplants are not suitable for everybody.
Okay.
As most doctors or some of the specialists will just give you a transplant which they can do the procedure of. I mean, an FUT may be better than an FUE. You know, robotic may be better than an FUE. So it all depends on what type of hair loss you've got, what is the texture, you know, and the density of your hair. So there's a lot of things that are involved in transplants. This is why a lot of people run off to all different places for medical tourism and come back.
Turkey, Thailand.
We've done a lot of damage control from a lot of transplants, believe me, over the years. So
okay.
It's, you know, if people just look into it and always get the pre-treatment right first.
Mm-hmm. Start with the basics.
Start with the basics. Get that scalp nice and healthy. Because whatever you do, you're taking hair from a donor site, you're taking a graft from there, and your hair follicle rehabilitation, you're putting into a recipient site. So the more healthy that environment that you're putting it into, the more that hair is going to benefit from it. The more benefit you're going to have.
It's like soil, right?
It's like soil, absolutely.
The more fertile the soil is, whatever you put it inside, like it just...
Yeah. If you're putting a graft into a toxic environment, then what's going to happen? You know, basically, you know, a year later, that hair is going to come out. You're back again. That's why most people have two transplants or even three.
Oh, is this a stat? Like most people have more than one transplant?
Very few people have one transplant that's it, and they're happy because, as I say, they don't get the pre-treatment and post-treatment right. And that's all to do with that. That's more important than the transplant.
Mm. Okay, perfect. This has been fascinating. I got to learn a lot from you.
CJ, you know,
thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast.
Thank you.
Now, before I let you go, if you could take a spaceship back into time, okay, or let's just teleport you there.
Yeah,
you could go and meet your younger self. What would be that one thing? By the way, everyone, Mark is 65 years old. He looks like 45, but if you could go to your younger self, what would be that one piece of advice that you would give yourself?
Well, as I say, hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So, obviously, with the experience I've had, I'll do a lot of things differently, but in general, I've been pretty happy with my life. I think it's been good. I've enjoyed the journey, you know, leaving a bit of a legacy behind for my mother, which is very important to me. You know, the main thing is basically all the products used to be in the clinics. If you wanted to come and see me in Harley Street, it's very expensive. Consultation, prognosis, diagnosis. Last thing my mother said to me before she died was get the products out for everybody. I've seen a lot of anxiety, depression, unhappiness out there. So, you know, I'd like everybody, you know, from the education, what I'm actually doing from the media is to let everybody follow a good hair care regime to have a more healthier scalp, better hair growth and better hair condition. And then I'm happy.
Okay.
So that's all from the experiences, what I've had over the years.
Okay, perfect. We're going to put everything that you said about, especially like, you know, the links to the products, to the website, to the clinics in the show notes so everyone can go and listen, and that's it. I Thank you for coming and joining us.
Yeah, it's been very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
It's been a good conversation.
Thank you.
And this is me, CJ, signing out from the podcast. See you guys next time.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.